Remember that show we did a couple of months back on human waste?
How could I forget the poop show?
Ah, the poop show.
Memories. Good times.
Well, one of the stories we did on that show was, where does our waste go? Like, after you do your business on the toilet, once it gets flushed down, what happens to it? For the most part, in a place like Australia, we're attached to a centralized sewer system. We flush our toilets, our waste goes to a treatment plant, the water is treated, our poop is sludged out and goes through a number of processes before being reused. It can be reused.
What about in more rural areas? You know, toilets aren't always so glamorous out there.
Well, if you drive out into the middle of Australia, maybe you'll see more outhouses, which still happen. My uncle's got one. Or portaloos, or maybe even people physically moving the waste around themselves.
Can't say I'm envious of that.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. But we still have it pretty lucky here in Australia. However, for a place like Indonesia, this manual practice over the next couple of years is going to be happening more and more.
Every year, is it 50 million incidents of waterborne disease in Indonesia? It's an incredibly high statistic. And so it's a really important question of what's the actual performance of these systems once they're installed.
This is Katie Ross. She's from the Institute for Sustainable Futures at the University of Technology, Sydney. And she's part of a research team looking at how sewer systems work in Indonesia. And it's not as simple as you may think.
Currently, 2% of people are served by centralized sanitation, which is similar to the type of sanitation services we have here in Australia. And I think it's on the order of 60% of people are serviced by on-site sanitation, which is septic tanks or pits where the waste is gathered on the residential property. And then another 2% are serviced by community-scale sanitation systems.
Community sanitation, like everybody going to the toilet together.
Well, less everybody going all together and more going to the same place.
What that refers to is systems that are between 25 to 100 households that are connected by simple sewer systems. It can also refer to public toilets where a building is constructed and there may be four public toilets. And if the community doesn't have a toilet within their house, then that becomes the facilities that they use on a daily basis.
I know it sounds a bit rich, but I wouldn't be happy if every time I needed to use the toilet, I had to run down to the shops to go.
No way. Neither would I.
Sometimes it just comes on way too quick.
You got food poisoning from that restaurant, didn't you?
No, I had the same thing that she had, and I feel fine.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, no.
What is this happening?
Nothing's happening.
Yeah, I just need to get off this white carpet.
No, okay. God. No, not the bathroom. Oh, everybody, go outside. I'm serious. There's a bathroom across the street.
But for the communities where these systems are, it's all they've got.
National government and NGOs and communities work together in a very close partnership to select sites. And those sites were mainly urban poor areas where they were already quite dense and developed, and it would be hard to retrofit a centralized system in there.
And the community-based systems, there are more on the way.
Well, actually, it's not only 2%. It will be increased the percentage until 7.5% from the total population.
That's Prast. Prast heads Aksansi, the Association for Community-Based Sanitation Organizations in Indonesia.
So instead of we have 400 in the last couple of years, and then we have now 14,000 units, and it will be 100,000 more in 2019, which is the huge number, huge service, huge people. And it's the same number as centralized, that is huge, I think.
This is all part of the Indonesian government's promise to provide 100% of its citizens with access to sanitation. And as Prast says, this is all going down before 2019. So there's less than 3 years left to install more than 10 times the current amount of these community-based systems.
Where in Indonesia is this all happening?
Indonesia has 534 cities.
Right.
And this community-based sanitation is built in 476, if I'm not wrong. So that's spread everywhere. When you build just one, sometimes it's not enough because more people live in that area. So you might need two until three. unit installed. So whenever one is finished with a certain year, and then it will be appear in the next year. So then the number is growing quickly.
Whenever I'm at work or in the shopping center or even at a music festival, it always feels like there are never enough toilets. But this plan sounds like there are going to be too many. Do you reckon they can ship some to us?
Well, it's a very ambitious plan. Not sure about that. But the thing Katie and Prast are concerned about is who's going to look after these toilets and maintain them.
Well, who looks after them now?
The people.
And so the main principle behind that is that national government, NGOs, communities would work together to select the sites, those urban poor areas where there was a demand that people were calling for the sanitation, and they would select the type of technology and the community would build it in partnership with government. And then once it was fully constructed, the system was handed over to the community for them to operate and maintain.
Imagine being the person in charge of that. That's so not the type of power I'd be interested in.
Well, it's funny that you say power because that's what they have, and maybe they have too much of it. According to Katie and Prast, it seems the local governments are shirking a lot of the responsibility onto these people under the guise of community empowerment. But that whole power balance has got out of hand.
And so now the selection of the communities happens much faster. But the data from our research has shown that with the ramp up in development and construction, the likelihood of the success of the operation and maintenance phase decreases.
And it also creates some big problems for the operators.
If a pump breaks or if there's a major problem within the system, the community, it's challenging for them to go to work, feed their family, take care of the rest of their life responsibilities, and figure out, troubleshoot the system. The systems are relatively simple technology, but it's more those logistical questions of how do we pay for this? Who do we hire? Who has the expertise to fix this? And when do we find the time to do it?
I find it interesting that the local governments are like, we'll build you more of these sewer systems because you need them, but little jokes, you're the ones who have to maintain them. Isn't that the government's job?
There's a very strong assumption that local government and government should be the service provider, and it's even ingrained in international norms like the human right to water and sanitation. But within that, the duty bearer is government. That's a very strongly held norm, but then you also hear about some innovative places in Scandinavia and the U.S. that are experimenting with community-led or co-management between communities and government of service provision, not necessarily sanitation. But within Indonesia, local government is legally responsible, but because of this community empowerment means local government is less likely to be involved.
And if you had more local government investment,
from an efficiency perspective alone, looking at in the next 5 years, if national government has a goal of 100,000 of these systems, it'd be much more effective to have 500 local governments running them as opposed to 100,000 community-based organizations. So,
and if the local governments took on a role more like this, Prast said she'd be happy to meet them halfway.
I feel that no one wants to maintain this facility, so it always coming back to us as a community, which is sometimes not fair, because then every time we have problem, just like left alone. But it will be possible if, in one condition, if our voice, it will be taken place and have the same position in the process of decision making, and we know about it and we part of it and we know how it will be going long term, then you provide support whenever needed and you actually make the follow-up action on that, it will be okay.